Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're glad you're listening in. And thanks for hanging with us. We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can just go to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow and you can chime along with us. And you can also hit us up on Twitter, @TheMusicRowShow. And then after the show, if you're so inclined, you can find some great pictures that are also @TheMusicRowShow.
That's right.
Good job, Scott.
Thank you.
All right, Scott, why don't you introduce this lovely and talented lady who's sitting here with us right now?
I will. Okay, so there have been many, many, many adjectives used to describe our guest tonight.
Really?
Yeah. Soft, ethereal, subtle,
no,
shy,
yeah,
demure. None of those have ever been used. The daughter of the great Delaney and Bonnie Bramlett, Becca has continued the family tradition of big, soulful voices, traveling the world, standing shoulder to shoulder with some of the biggest voices in music, Vince Gill, Delbert McClinton, Joe Cocker, Faith Hill, even a 4-year stint fronting Fleetwood Mac.
Wow.
She has written hit songs. She starred on Broadway on Tony Award nominated plays. She's recorded and performed with so many of rock, blues, and country music legends. Buckle up, friends. We are
really
so happy.
Huh?
Well, you're no,
yeah,
no.
Lucky
you make your luck. We are so happy to say, Becca Bramlett, we're so happy you're here. Welcome to the Music Row Show.
Yeah. So
yay.
You guys, thanks.
All right.
So and let me just say, too, Bruce Geitch is with me. And
Bruce.
Hi, Bruce.
Boots Geitch.
Boots.
And boy, he's a good friend to come and pick from me because, you know, I don't know how I skipped out on learning how to play the guitar with all them guitar pickers in my house. I don't know what happened.
Well, it's because they were all there playing.
You didn't have to.
I'm trying to help you here.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, was that right?
But on that note,
dig this.
Hey,
there you go. Right?
Sort of on that note, you were kind of, I would imagine, doomed to a life in music at you know, with everything that was going on in your house.
Sure, for certain.
So aside from your parents, though, who else was musical in your family?
Everybody. Every ding dang body.
Really?
I mean, it wasn't about being famous. It wasn't about being rich. It wasn't about driving weird cars. It wasn't about anything. It was about singing and playing and banging on tables and whatever you could get your hands on.
Yeah.
Right? And, I mean, sheesh. Everybody.
Everybody.
You know? Yeah. I mean, like some, you know, like my sister, Suzanne, she has a beautiful voice, but she'd rather eat a bug than sing in front of somebody.
Oh,
unless
really?
She chooses to. You know, she just doesn't want to be the quote-unquote dancing bear. right? You know what I mean? But everybody's creative in their own way.
And you're like, where's my bear suit?
Yeah. Hey!
Yeah.
And not to mention, where's the tail?
Oh. Right.
On my bear suit. Hey, this one's missing the tail. I want another one.
By the way, this segment's brought to you by PETA, who'd like to remind you to not eat bugs.
Yeah.
Don't eat bugs.
Don't do it.
Yes. Anyway, sorry, we're back.
Yeah, otherwise you're going to have to go to Vanderbilt.
So I'm trying to get the slightest handle, just the tiniest handle on what growing up in your house had to be like. I mean, we could probably do an entire show on who slept on Becca's couch.
Yeah, there's that. Hey, you know what? I'd be so rich if I had that ding-dang couch. Because we had it for 8 quadrillion bajillion years and the kitchen table, too. But, I mean,
what are your most vivid memories? And how old were you when you actually were able to look back and appreciate those memories?
Well, I think that's a really good question. You know, like I said, like you were asking earlier, it's like music was everywhere. So, you know, some people had accents and B.O. Those were the English people. Right? I'm just telling it like it is, y'all. Please don't hate me.
English.
Well, I'm serious. I always remember going, P.U., Mama. And she'd go, ugh. And so, like, they'd go downstairs to the studio, and Mama would sneak and wash their stuff.
That's funny.
And hang it right back up where it was. Yeah, yeah. Because I was like, phew. But nobody ever said nothing hateful or nothing like that. And then there were the people that, you know, that, you know, like, had, like, big mustaches and beards and would leave that whiskey mustache kiss on your cheek, you know, mm-hmm. as a little kid, like, go kiss Uncle Spider Snake, nasty something, good night. And I was like, really?
Or go kiss Uncle Eric Clapton.
Well, so I don't give a care. Stinky, all of them. Yeah. And whatever it was, if they had a beard, it was stinky, and I would go wash my face right quick and be real sweet. But Daddy never said that. It was always somebody else that said, like, go get Uncle Joe Cocker. And I love Joe Cocker.
Right.
Now, you know.
But when you were a little kid, you didn't want to have anything to do with that beard.
He smelled like old man Nessie breath. And I wasn't down with it, right? And I was like, exit, stage left even. Right? You know, so you like, you knew when to scoot on out of there. But I told him it's okay. He won't get mad at me if I say that. Because, you know, as I got older, we're good friends now. But yeah, you know, like, mind your P's and Q's when the kids are around and y'all, you know, are rock and rolling, because they're on to you. They just don't know how to articulate it.
But yeah, so, I mean, so many people just came and hung out and not just spent the night, but they'd spend several days. I mean,
dude,
like,
you have no
like
idea.
You said,
I mean,
Eric Clapton, Joe Cocker.
Yeah. And Uncle Larry
John
Hadley,
Lennon. Did I hear John Lennon? George Harrison?
Oh, my gosh. I almost got beat up for saying John Lennon was on my couch. My sister saved my life, I think, because they just wanted to get me. Because for one thing, I didn't even realize that that was a big deal, except for the fact that my lunchbox had Cinderella on it.
Right.
And this one girl's had two of the guys from the Beatles that were, I just walked out the door to get into the school bus. Two of them were on the couch.
Yeah.
The couches,
so you
right?
walk out and you see them on
and
this
I'm like,
girl's lunchbox.
I know that guy and that guy. They're right in there. And
they're like, sure.
Well, I mean, no, it wasn't even like, sure. It wasn't even that sweet. It wasn't like, it was like, I'm going to kick your tail.
Hey, for telling those kind of stories.
Yeah. And I was, you know, little, and I had no idea why they were so angry. But my sister stood up for me, and then the bus driver said, okay, well, kids, stay in the, it was called the blue bus, right? Stay in the bus, because they would drive up. Mm-hmm. We lived in the Hollywood,
I need to make sure
Hollywood
Becca
Hills
gets in okay to her house.
No, she said, I'm just going to make sure so that there's no more stuff on the bus. I'm just going to go take a look-see. And Mama said, okay, I'm on to you, you know. So they were still sleeping after we, you know, when we were coming home from school, right? They were still conked out right there. And so she said, okay, but you can't scream. Right? Mama's from Mississippi.
Right, right.
Pontiac, Mississippi. And she said, I won't scream. And, you know, and she had, like, you know, long hippie hair and, you know, a little flowery dress. You know, I'm old. And sure enough, Mama just went, I mean it now. Don't scream now. But she wanted to, you know, get the kids off me.
Sure.
And so she pulled the, and she went, what?
You know? She screamed.
And Mama went, whoop, and just put, and she, Mama was little. And she went, scoop, and just
pushed
walked
her, out.
Her right
grabbed
out
her
the
by
door.
The mouth
but
and dragged
anyways,
her out.
Nobody gave me any hell anymore. So
wow.
But, you know, you didn't think about it that way because it's just Daddy's friends and who he makes music with. And
when do you get to the age where you start saying, oh, my gosh, the experiences that I had and these people that were that I got
God,
to know?
That's a good one, too. I guess, I don't know, maybe right around, like, puberty when Daddy was like, listen, everybody poops. Just picture him pooping, and that mattered. No, right? I swear.
Wow.
I'm not kidding.
Thank you for joining us on Poop Talk.
It worked. Because seriously,
wow.
Because I mean, like, I'd go, wow, what a great belt buckle, and then my friends would just literally pull their hair out of their heads on occasion
because they were so excited.
Because they didn't. I don't know. I mean, like they saw them differently than we did, right? I mean, did, you know, it's like, I don't know. So I think the whole pooping thing worked.
Okay.
Because, right. I mean, seriously, well, not to mention, wouldn't it be weird to have to, you know, like walk out your door and have click, 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 right. click going on? Well, where we lived, I guess they, you know, kept it real under the radar, right? And everybody kind of felt secure and
they could just chill out
there,
in the downtime.
So people would come over for, you know, to come write a song, and then like Uncle Larry Henley, his wife had to come 3 months later and fly out to come get him back.
That's funny.
Come home now, right? And George too. George lived with us for, I don't know, over a year.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, and he'd disappear for a little bit, and then just he had a key.
That's awesome.
Right?
That is
so
awesome.
Boink, he'd come right back.
Hard to imagine.
But you know, now think about it. I mean, that would be imagine being a Beatle or Jimi Hendrix or Eric, or, you know, I can't imagine that back then, but today, you know, watching everybody go through what they go through, I'm really glad that my daddy had that kind of open door.
Yeah. That's amazing.
You know, latest 4 in the morning making bologna sandwiches. Hey, fried bologna. You never had fried bologna? Son, you ain't tasted nothing yet. Right? And, you know, and Mama with their little, you know, their ta-da, clean clothes.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle.
They don't smell anymore.
I know.
It's crazy.
So apparently your first time in the recording studio kind of had you crying because you thought maybe you sounded like a cartoon character. Tell us a story about that and what happened that day.
How'd
you
hear about that?
Oh, you know, we know things.
That was California rain. I was a little bitty. My mom tells it way better than me. Because, you know, headphones. If we had headphones on right now, think about when your little head's a little tiny.
Right.
And the headphones were way down here and my ears were up here. And so it was me and Suzanne and Tina Turner's son, and we were singing. We had our own part. And what was ironic was that night it had rained, and it was called California Rain. Daddy wrote a song and says, "Wish it would rain, wish it would rain, a big old California rain, ooh rain." And so we said, "If it rains, you have to stay inside. You're going hard, and you know it's
probably the same key.
It is. Well, I don't know. I'm coming to find you. We should check that out, huh? Can't take it much longer." And when we walked out the house, it started to rain, and Daddy was crying.
Aww.
And he said, "Okay, one more time. We gotta rehearse right quick." And then I heard it back, and I vowed never to sing again. I thought I sounded like Alvin and Chipmunks, and it was awful. And then he introduced me to Al Bennett, who was Alvin Bennett. And he was
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
He was Alvin.
He was Alvin.
Alvin.
Yeah, there you go. And so he made me feel bad about making fun of Alvin, and I know, isn't that funny? You crack it up. See, shame does a lot for a country girl in California. Look, everybody from Mississippi ought to just raise a kid in California and just shame them all the way into whatever they want
that's
them
funny.
To be. But yeah, but you know, it was weird because in my head it didn't sound that terrible.
Right. Yeah. Well, you never, you know, when you hear yourself, it's always.
Oh, I was just gross completely. Yeah, somebody. Yeah,
well,
awful.
We need to take a break, but we want to remind our listeners that this segment's brought to you by the very, very good people at Toyota of Cool Springs.
Yay, Toyota.
Yeah. Yay, yes. Scott and I are both Toyota drivers, and we love that dealership not only to get our cars worked on, but when we're in the market for a new one, just because they're so laid back. They go really out of their way to make sure everybody has an excellent experience, not only with with getting their car serviced, but also in purchasing one. They have a 3-day return policy on it.
Exchange policy.
Excuse me.
Get it right.
And
you asked
unlimited,
for it, you got it.
Unlimited time and miles warranty on every vehicle.
They're incredible.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't get in trouble for that, but I'll
Heck
tell you what.
No.
When anytime I get in trouble with Daddy, he go, "You asked for it, you got it, Toyota."
Oh, there you go. Yes, for it. You got it. Toyota. Go see George, the owner, or you can check him out online, toyotaofcoolsprings.com. That's toyotaofcoolsprings.com. We're going to be right back with more of Becca Bramlett right here on the Music Row Show. Stick around. All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
I've been the blues for too long, because my name is not Becca, it's Rob. Becca. I've been known to say what I think. That's what I think. I wish Woo! To God. Except
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Becca Bramlett, and that was her just singing us back into the show with a little improvisational song.
Yeah, a little
composition
blue, a little blues
called
hater.
My Name Ain't Becca.
Yeah.
Ain't blues, yeah.
It's only Rebecca if I'm in trouble, but seriously, God, I was talking earlier this morning with my God kid about, you know, genre and am I a blues singer and blah, blah, blah. No. I don't know what I am. And put it this way, Nashville's eating me alive over one word, genre.
Genre.
I just don't get it because, yeah, I love the blues, but I can't take the blues for more than an hour. I mean, then you get them. I mean, I love to hear somebody's story being told.
Sure.
But I don't want to, like, call myself a blues singer. Are you serious? I mean... Look at me. I've got two arms and two legs and people who love me and a roof over my head. No, I'm not a blues singer. And I'm not a country singer, although I've broke more horses than every cowboy hat I've seen in town lately. But I'll tell you right now, that's me. I'm a, you know, I'm a little...
Chameleon?
Well, I don't know. I mean, can't we all be a little of everything? There's not a kind of music I don't love.
What about Americana? Because that kind of encompasses a whole bunch of things, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm blessed to be Americana. But also, I love to...
You're a rocker.
All day long.
Yeah.
And I love opera. I love salsa music. And I love, you know, mariachi. I mean, like, why can't I do a little of everything? So
I don't see why not.
Let's just say, Becca, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So play us a little.
We just set it on the radio. We just set it on the radio, so you can do whatever you want.
That gives me like the.
You are absolutely
the right. What are you doing?
She's trying to steal your ukulele.
We can do the Hawaiian song.
Well, it's not a Hawaiian song.
Oh, okay.
Are you going to play something for us?
I'm about to.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Then we're going to sit back.
This song is I wrote with Tommy Sims.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Britt is my ex-husband. He gave me this.
Gave you the ukulele or the
he
song?
He did. He gave me the ook, and then I call it ook because I had the misfortune of playing it live on radio, and one of my friends from Hawaii called up and said, "Call it a ukulele one more time, Becca." And I said, What do I do? And they said, "It's an ukulele." And I'm like, "Well, who won't ever hear me say that wrong again? I will call it an ukulele." But anyway, so I don't play guitar. So Tom Britt, great guitar player, dear friend, ex-husband, put that together.
Those are two four words you don't ever often hear in the same sentence.
We had the easiest divorce. It was like, bye, I love you, I'm crap, you're crap, bye. And I'm a terrible wife. You're a terrible husband. Hey, you want to play on Friday? Okay, cool. But he said here, and then he put it in my dog has fleas, and gave it to me, and my mom had written, written me a text that day, and said, I'm feeling kind of blue. Beck, can you come over? And I was like, oh no, I'm waiting for Tommy Sims to come over. And it's really hard to nail him down to write because he's so busy. And I said, what color are you? What shade? I said, if you're dark blue, I'll come over and I'll reschedule. But if you're like light blue, I'm kind of doing something. Right?
Yeah, how blue are you?
Right?
How
deep like, is what, this blue? What shade? You know, like, really?
How
and so she goes,
you?
Oh, bless you. She goes, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm not that blue. And so she's, write me something. And I went, okay. And so it went like this. And then my buddy Sean Carnes came in and you know how you don't ever want somebody to have an idea while you're writing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't help it. He kept circling around and goes, birds of a feather. And it became the title.
The title.
Song. Yeah. And Gretchen Wilson just cut this on her latest record.
Oh, fantastic. Sweet.
And it's beautiful. She's so beautiful. Here we go. Yeah. I want to say now. That's why people holler at me from afar.
Sweet.
On your ukulele?
On your ukulele. Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. You had a development deal at 14?
12.
12. You were recording 17. Did you ever have a regular job? Ever? Have you like had to like, you know?
Yeah.
And are you good at it?
Cherokee City is hold please. And boy, that didn't last long.
Yeah. How long did that last?
Not long.
I love that.
Well, because I met Will.
Well, yeah.
But I was way more interested in like going running out and getting the sandwiches and hot wings and stuff like that. Okay. The whole like sitting down. I mean, I'm a triple Aries, and you know I'm on fire. I mean, I wake up like this, and so I couldn't do the sit down job, but I did do my best and hung up on everybody, and then Rod Stewart walked in, and that was that. So, bye.
Yeah.
So, I went and did...
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
He just sort of walked in?
Yeah, so twisting. Everybody's feeling great. Yeah. Right, with me.
And you sang all that.
So, you were singing with him.
Yeah. He said, Rebecca, mm-hmm. It's Roderick.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I thought it was like Rodney, right? Wouldn't you think Rod?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's Roderick. Okay.
Sure. Would you like to come and sing on my record? I was like...
Boy, that's an uncanny impression. I like that.
Well, that's just like not him. Very good, is it? I don't do
Him to do any impression.
Yeah,
Would you like to do an impression for me, love?
Yeah, let's hear Robert De Niro.
Yeah, I can't do it, sorry.
Yeah. No, he's horrible. He's horrible. So
well, can't you just do a bad one for me? So
do a bad one.
I can only do Mickey Mouse. That's the only one
okay,
I can
do.
Okay,
go ahead, Mickey Mouse. Ladies and gentlemen, Mickey Mouse.
Oh, boy.
Wow, there
Wait,
you go.
Wait, that was really good.
That's all I can do.
Now do Robert De Niro.
What are you talking about? I can't do it.
Are you looking at me?
Thank you very much.
So how much of your songwriting training was through osmosis and how much of it was from either your parents or friends saying, okay, this is how you do it?
Songwriting, you mean?
Yeah.
Gosh, no. You know what? I mean, seriously, daddy, mom, everybody believed in me from the get-go, but I didn't start writing songs till I was 23.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the first song I wrote, I was 7. But it was my sister had already started it, and she took me by my shoulders, and she went, you're really good at this. And she was like, serious. She was like, wow.
Shaking you.
Yeah, and it was about a love story.
Was it a happy shake? Or?
Horse. No, she just couldn't believe it. She was like, way to go, Beck. And it was like, you're a horse, and I'm a girl. You love me, and I love you. We love each other, and that is good. Cause we're together, boom, 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 boom. I don't know how come it
Wow, worked. That's a hit.
Yeah.
I love it.
Did you pass that on to John and Paul and Ringo when they were in the living
room? Yeah, are you kidding me? I've never even got a dime from those boogers.
These guys.
Okay. Oh, we got to take a break. Doggone it. Okay. This segment, look at Katrina's going, uh-huh. All right, Missy. This segment brought to you by our very good friends at Dogwood Cabins.
Yes.
The peaceful side of the Smokies, Townsend, Tennessee. If you want to get away from the rush, the tourists, and just enjoy the quiet beauty of the Smoky Mountains, go to dogwoodcabins.com, book your cabin. Dogwoodcabins.com, beautiful cabins, amazing views, and no crowds. We're going to be right back with more. How's that for a radio voice? With Becca Bramlett here on the Music Row Show. Stick around.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Becca Bramlett. That's a great song of hers called She Rose.
That
was the 30-second edit, so we had to kind of hurry and come on back there.
Right on.
Oh, that was nice. So where is that song available?
Well, it's not yet. We're just getting ready to release it on my record.
Do we have something new coming out?
Yeah. You got the sneak peek, dude. And dudes.
She Rose. That's a great title.
And thanks. And, you know, I thought I made that up, and then... There it was. Maya Angelou got me.
Darn her.
Yeah, but what's she ever done?
I know. Bless her little, you know, helping heart.
But she can't play the ook.
Yeah.
I guarantee
it. Or the quater.
She can do anything. She's Maya. But But it's funny to write a song about strong and powerful women with two guys, and that was Billy Burnett and Rafe Van Hoy. And wow, it was just really cool. It kind of ended up writing itself.
That is awesome. Well, we'd love to hear one more song from you. Can you do that for us?
Yeah, can I? Okay, we were going to do the song that Bruce and I wrote, but by gosh, I just want to take a real quick second to, I know that in the news and stuff, you know, the wounded warriors
mm-hmm.
got a bad rap, man. Somebody messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck their foot somewhere they shouldn't have, right? I don't care. I don't think that should come off on what the somebody should have done right. And I was just thinking about this song. You know, we wrote the song the day that we went to war. Billy Burnett and David Malloy.
Mm.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Sweetest cat. And Billy's always, you know, a positive guy. And he's like, come on, let's go. It's like, and I was like, I just am not feeling it, guys. You know, so we went from one writer room. We were in Reba's building here in Nashville on Music Row. And I was like, God, my heart was feeling very heavy. And so we ended up, I was like, we just went to war. I mean, like people's kids and the world. And so they both, gentlemen that they are, just went, okay, gotcha. What are you feeling? And so we went up and on this porch, and it was a windy day.
Mm-hmm.
And we wrote this song. And in my heart, I wanted to write, and they definitely made my dreams come true with being the greatest writing partners. On this level, I wanted to write the antithesis of a Dear John letter,
mm-hmm.
right? And of course they went, well, let's write a John Deere letter. But I know, it's funny. You got to have fun if you write with men. Sheesh. But my money and my faith is still going into them. I hope they get to hear this too, by the way. I hope they do, and I'm going to send it to them. Either way, I'm going to go out of my way. And thank you, Bruce, for playing so pretty with Blondie.
I think this is it.
I'll fight, defend the right to love you like I do, with every step and every breath I take. No time or distance can change how I feel. And while you're gone, I'm counting the days. I've got so many memories to carry me on. And your heart will always be my home. How could I forget all the love that you've given to me? How could I forget your smile? Every picture so clear, close my eyes and you're here. You're the sunlight here in my life. So how could I forget? Just a day, a twist of fate can rearrange your life, lead you down an uncharted road. So whenever you need me, just touch your heart. And I'll be there wherever you go. Just remember that you promised me a lifetime of love. So hurry back, we've only just begun.
that you've given to me. How could I forget your smile? Every picture so clear. Close my eyes and you're here. You're the sunlight here in my life. So how could I? So how could I forget? Yeah, Bruce. Thanks, Bruce. Woo! That's Bruce.
All right. Well, listen, we need to take one last break, but we're going to be back with a whole lot more of Becca Bramlett here on The Music Row Show. All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with the great Becca Bramlett. That's her doing a tune called What's On My Mind. We love that. Now, one of my favorite songs of yours is a song called Used that you wrote with James Slater and James House, I believe.
Yeah, the Jameses.
The James Boys, yes. And my favorite line in there is everybody's got a skeleton in their closet and you got to live with them. Feels like a fish hook in my side. And from what I understand, there's a pretty cool story about that particular line and how that came about.
How are you? Are just so awesome. I think you're talking about my puppy dog.
I'm thinking maybe.
Oh, well, we just buried him. He made it to 16 years old. His name is Mark. And I stole him. I stole him. He was hanging out at a pizza place in Knoxville. And he was just hideously starving and dehydrated and awful. So I went up to, the owner of the pizza place and said, do you know whose dog this is? And they said, yeah, he lives out, in the back. I'm going to get in trouble right now if anybody's listening out in Knoxville. But
it's not like they're going to come take him back.
I mean, it was 16 years ago.
Yeah.
But
anyway, but how did that?
I walked up there and I said, listen, is that your dog? Because he was begging for food and water. And we were throwing him pizza, but he was so scared. And he had this big shark hook looking thing and stuck in his, it was festered in his side. Yeah, it was awful. You could see his bones and it was awful. He had green stuff coming out of everything and everywhere. And I said, excuse me, is this your dog? He was watering his lawn. And I said, because he's really in a bad way. And he just turned his hose on full blast and just drenched me. And I went, normally I would, anybody knows me, I'm like, quackity, quackity, quack, quack, quack. No, I wouldn't have punched him. I mean, not that what,
you would have got Mick Fleetwood on him.
I would have. Yeah! Sis, bum, 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 bum. And, but that's funny. Scott, oh God, I'm going to get in trouble. But no, and I said, get in the truck. Let's see if we can get him in the truck. And the pizza place gave us a whole pizza and we got him in the truck. It was Valentine's night. I just met James Slater that night, trying to hook him up with my dear girlfriend. And James House was my writing buddy and brother. I kind of had it for the night, and I went to bed. I said, y'all just have fun. Don't let the dogs out and lock the door behind you when you leave. Or you can stay in the guest rooms, blah, blah, blah. Do whatever you want. But don't let the dogs out. And knock, 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 2 a.m. It's 2 a.m. We didn't even start writing this. And I could hear him writing this song. So I was like, okay, I'm coming out. And we finished it at 5 a.m. And it's actually one of my favorite songs.
But the fish hook line came from the dog then?
From the puppy dog. Oh, yeah, because he was used too, like all of us. Or like me at least.
Wow. Hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Well, I have a favorite song. as well. We only have a couple minutes here, but I love What Happened, which was on the Here for the Party CD. I love that song, and that was another powerhouse writer session. I mean, you got DePiro.
Yeah, that was a four-way. Which
Big
is a
Al.
Trip.
Wow. And Tim Nichols.
Wow. Yeah, usually there's, you know, like when you get, we were out in overlooking the Niagara Falls, right? And a great friend of ours, Larry, he has, you know, these writer get-together things. Mm-hmm. He sets you up at Casino Rama. But we didn't realize that, you know, like four of us were going to get together and write. And I've been writing with Big Al and Bob DePiro, and I had never written with Tim before. But by God, we all got together, and you know, you'd think that there's a lot, maybe too much energy. No, it was perfect energy. Everyone gave and bounced off each other, and it was you know, and then I'm the girl, so, you know, like, you know, it's coming off of a romance. And I still did have in my house at home in Nashville a jar of the shells that we'd collected and da-da-da. And I'm not going to tell who it's about, but I think everybody has that person that, you know, they can relate to. And what happens, like, knock, knock, who's there? Not my lover anymore. What happened?
Yeah.
I didn't realize you kept all those shells.
I still have them.
Aww.
From your time with Heino?
That's
what
that's supposed
what
to come
he's
out.
Trying to say.
I didn't realize you were German. I thought you were Hawaiian.
See?
Hawaiian. Hawaiian.
I know. All right.
Thank you so much for coming and joining us. This hour has just flown by. And
you guys, I would love to do this anytime.
Well, anytime you want.
It's been so fun. And thanks for...
This was fun.
I think knowing so much about me, big stalkers.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, we've been following you for some time.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
You, man. And listen, yeah. I'm going to come and see you for Tin Pan South.
Sweet.
We're going to see you at Tin Pan South.
We're playing me and Billy Burnett and Bruce Geist.
And Rafe Van Hoy.
David, Dennis Morgan. And
do you know the night?
Thursday night at Douglas 7th, Corner.
Yeah.
At 9 o'clock.
Douglas Corner. And you guys are playing Friday.
At the Commodore.
At 9 o'clock.
And yep. I'm coming.
Thanks
and we're
again.
Out of time. Hey, we'll see you next week on the Music Row Show.
God
thanks for joining
you.
Us.
Bye, guys.